Okay, everybody, if everybody could take their seats, we will get started.
You're up, Mr. President.
So, Mr. Crist, when you come up, when you come to the microphone, just please, we all know who you are, but just state your name for the record.
Are we back?
We are back. And then, just a reminder to everybody as they come up, state your name before your question, and we're going to go until 9 o'clock now.
My name is Jonathan Crist. I'm the attorney representing Mary Beth Backenstos, who has the property at the corner, the historic property, by the way, at the corner of Governor and Fishburne slash Hopkinsville, whatever you want to call it. Mr. Rogalski, is that how you pronounce it?
Rogalski.
Is that?
Rogalski.
Rogalski. All right. I read your resume. It's quite impressive. I understand you were also a township zoning officer. Is that true?
That is true.
All right. Based on that experience, my understanding, trucks are coming in here, they're dropping their fuel at the underground storage tanks. Is that right?
Correct.
Do you know how many underground storage tanks there are?
I believe there are four, but I would defer to the sheet's representative.
There's going to be at least three, correct?
Correct.
One for regular gas, one for high test, and one for diesel. If they have some sort of flex fuel, that would be a fourth one.
Once again, I defer to the sheets.
All right, but there's got to be a minimum of three. We agree that.
Yes.
Okay. So, people come and their truck's going out this way. Do you know the distance between the underground storage tanks and the apartment building?
I do not.
If I told you it was 150 feet, would that sound about right?
It seems reasonable, yes.
Pardon?
It seems reasonable, yes.
Yes. All right, so that's 3 feet to a yard, so that's 50 yards, that's half a football, that's 50-yard line on a football game. So you've got 40 apartments, 150 feet from three underground storage tanks, correct?
Correct.
All right, how about across the street? I measured it, I did these numbers and ran them accurately. I'm an engineer too, by the way. I got 300 feet to Mary Beth Backenstos' property across the street. That's the length of a football field, correct? 300 feet is the length of football.
Correct.
All right, so we've got, let me ask you, in all your experience in reviewing all these plans and your experience as a code enforcement officer, have you ever seen a major fuel facility in a residential development on the same piece of ground before? Ever?
I have not reviewed a plan like that, no.
So this is unique?
Unique to my experience, yes.
I guess we covered a lot of this. Are you being paid separately for your testimony today? Or is that part of your services to Little Elm?
I'm being paid under the terms of our existing contract with Little Elm.
All right. So it's a lump sum fee for everything you people are doing? Or
it's time and materials.
Time and materials. How much have you people been paid by Little Elm so far today?
I'm going to have to check. This has zero relevance to the application that's pending before the board.
He's testifying as an expert, and paid expert. I think we have a right to know how much he's being paid.
He's testified that he has a contract with the developer that's time and materials. What that contract is worth is irrelevant.
Mr. Chris, this is a zoning, it's basic hearing, it's not a court, so I don't think it's very relevant here. We certainly recognize who he's working for and who's paying his bills, but we do not need to explore that further.
All right, I have nothing further for this witness.
Thank you. Mr. Getz.
My name is Dave Getz, G-E-T-Z, represent the owner of a property on Cherry Drive, known as the FSC property. It's right across from Hope Drive from on Cherry Drive. Would you start, please, with Exhibit FS1, FSC1? Thanks. Mr. Rogalski, you testified earlier about potential connections to Accession Hope Drive. And at the last meeting, I had your client identify this document, which is marked as FSC1. Do you recognize this document?
From the last hearing, yes.
And it shows a potential connection from Sandhill Road Extension down to Cherry Drive, correct?
Correct.
And this, I'll represent to you, is my client's building. And what was done with the Hershey Improvement Plan was to take the extension of the road through the parking lot and then to relocate the parking lot into the rear of the building, correct?
That is what the plan proposes, yes.
Chuck, if I could ask you to please pull up Exhibit A11. This exhibit is marked by your attorney as Exhibit A11. It's prepared by your office, correct?
Correct.
And it shows a potential connection in Phase 2, if Phase 2 ever happens, from Sandhill Road down to Cherry Drive, going through the middle of my client's building, correct?
Correct.
Let me ask you, do you know who the tenant is in our building?
The KinderCare?
Yeah. Why did your office design this potential alignment of Phase 2 through the building instead of through the parking lot where the prior exhibit showed?
We explored a different alternative from Exhibit FSC1. FSC1, if you flip to that exhibit.
Actually, Chuck, if you could put up the third one, it shows both of them on the same image. And I flipped FSC1 so that North Arrow was roughly the same.
Both of these documents are planning documents, so the proposal to extend Hope Drive has two particular potential scenarios. The one on the left, or the document on the left, which is FSC1, shows that the area of Hope Drive on the opposite side of Cherry would be realigned, as noted on the exhibit, and then it would proceed through the parking lot, as indicated. The exhibit to the right aligns the potential path of the extended Hope Drive with the existing location of Hope Drive.
Correct. And why did your office design it this way rather than leaving the alignment as shown originally in the Hershey Transportation Study?
It was our intent to explore both options. Given this is not a part of our application, our goal was solely to be able to look at the portion of relocated Sandhill Road that is a part of this application and see how it could connect potentially to either of those alignments.
So, I'm sorry, go ahead.
We believe that north of where we're looking at here is in a position to be able to do either one of those scenarios.
And that's what I was interested in knowing. So the proposed Sandhill Road in your project would connect to either option here?
Correct, yes.
Would you agree?
Could connect.
Could connect. Would you agree that FSC1, the image to the left, is less damaging to my client's property than the image to the right?
I don't know I can opine on that in terms of...
I couldn't get that answer. Could we hear that again?
I can't provide an opinion on that.
Thank you.
So you don't have an opinion whether tearing up the parking lot is less damaging to a property than tearing down the road?
Once again, I believe the evaluation that occurs in this particular scenario is based ultimately on cost of the entire project. I would say yes, certainly a road through a building would be more damaging to the property than a road through the parking lot, but once again, I'm not sure that the
parking lot is shown on FSC 1 will be compliant with council standards.
Yeah, your office did not prepare FSC 1, just to be fair, right?
Correct. And both of these documents are planning level documents. They are not intended to be final plans.
And I understand that this is part of phase two, which is not part of this application, but your client testified at length about the difficulty someone would have if they missed the sheets and having to drive through an extension area down Terry Drive and up and over the river through the woods. It would be much easier to have access directly off of Cherry Street, right?
It would be easier and consistent with the township's official map, yes.
Sorry, couldn't hear that again.
It would be easier and also consistent with the township's official map.
Do you know who gave you parameters as you were designing what I'll call your version, the Exhibit A11, of the potential connection to Cherry Drive, Drive Extension?
Can you clarify the question in terms of parameters?
Sure. When you were asked, did someone ask you to come up with this Exhibit A11?
Yes. We during the design process, preparing the master plan for the conditional use, had evaluated both of these, and that was discussed amongst the design team to take a look at a scenario where the opposite side of Oak Drive, you know, would not be realigned to conflict with the stormwater base and other things that are over there, and see what it would do in this particular instance.
So was that solely an effort of the design team?
The design team and the owner developer.
The other thing that Mr. Gates testified to, that I needed some clarification on, was he said, I believe he said a couple of meetings ago, the stormwater was going to exit your property in the vicinity of the new daycare center. And I'm interested in knowing, I could not see on the plan where that stormwater might go, since our client's property is right behind it.
Chuck, could you put the exhibit, I'm sorry, the rendering? Anyway, yep. Okay. So the site generally slopes from a high point here down this direction, and as you indicated, the ultimate low point and stormwater discharge is adjacent to this property. There is ultimately a channel that directs it to a pipe. The pipe then drains towards Cherry Drive. And then enters into the township storm sewer system in that particular area. So the general area, yes, is this area. The intent is to have, you know, stormwater detention facilities underneath the parking lot. And once again, we're obligated by the township stormwater ordinance to control our rates of discharge at least equal to what they are today.
Our client's property is roughly here. Are we going to be concerned about sheet flow of water coming across our property from your project?
No, our discharge from our property would be a pipe discharge to an existing system that would ultimately, you know, be tied in.
So does the pipe exist today, or will that be part of their construction?
No, the connector pipe does not exist today. There is an existing pipe from Cherry Drive that extends to the east some distance.
So you won't need to acquire right-of-way or easement from anyone to connect to that?
I don't know that yet.
Fair enough. Lastly, I wanted to ask you about the sheets. I think you said they're tractor trailers. Unloading areas right here?
Correct.
And so the delivery people will be unloading frozen food, beer, wine, whatever, and taking it into the building?
Correct. As indicated, that the larger delivery vehicles would be, you know, essentially staged in this area, you know, during off-peak hours. And I did indicate there is an area here that is available for that offloading as well. I did not indicate that previously.
Have you done a truck turn template about how a delivery vehicle could get up in here and then turn around and get back out again?
No. Once again, it would be our assumption that these would be smaller vehicles that would very easily be able to maneuver in these spaces.
Do you know whether this Sheets will be selling beer and wine?
I do not.
That's all the questions I have. Thank you very much. Thank you, sir.
Mr. Winter?
My name is Mark Winter. I'm representing Ron Blumberg, and I'm also representing myself and my wife.
I'm Steve Wilson.
Hello, sir.
What I'd like to do is just sort of go through chronologically what you've been telling us so far here tonight, just to ask you some questions. First of all, the exhibit that we're looking at, am I correct, is that exhibit 825? I think it should be marked down in the corner, Chuck.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, it is 825.
Yes.
Can you hear me okay? Just a few questions. First of all, sir, just basically, is this really more of a concept drawing, or is this sort of the final, this is where everything is going to be drawn?
I would characterize it as more than a concept, but not the absolute final drawing. Once again, this particular drawing or set of drawings is intended to show spatial orientation, where buildings are at, similar to Mr. McNair's question about the face of the building and setbacks. You know, those things will develop along with other items, landscape buffers, you know, pedestrian crossing items, things of that nature. So to the extent that it's, we believe it is a compliant plan that, you know, as we progress it further through the land development process, that it will meet all the township requirements.
And this plan then also best suits your client's needs and requirements, is that correct?
Yes.
Your client, for example, wanted a Sheets. They wanted an apartment building. They wanted a daycare, and they wanted a medical arts building. All fit onto this particular site. Is that correct?
Yes.
And do you feel that you've achieved that goal for them?
Yes.
Okay. I haven't counted all the parking spaces, but I've just got to tell you that just maybe it's just my intuition tells me that I don't see 233 parking spaces on there. Am I missing something?
No, sir. It's our testimony. There's 233 parking spaces.
Okay. All right. For example, down along what would be the western side of the Sheets, and I don't have that little red thing. Chuck, do you have that?
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. The top one. Here we go, right here. So these would be parking spaces for the Sheets, is that correct?
Correct, yeah.
And about how many parking spaces are there? And then if we start over here by the daycare, about how many spaces would be in front of the daycare?
I'm going to say 24 or so, just by counting this.
Wasn't the daycare supposed to provide for 43 parking spaces?
The daycare use as a standalone facility is to provide 43 parking spaces. The ordinance allows the use of a shared parking concept for all of the uses that are on the same lot.
Right. And this line right here, this is a sidewalk, is that correct?
Correct.
And this is a play area, designated play area for the children.
Correct.
What would be the distance from this play area, the edge of this play area, across the sidewalk, and what is the standard parking space? Maybe about 10 or 12 feet deep? 15 feet?
No, it's closer to 18.
18 feet. Okay. So you think from here to the entrance of the parking might be 25 feet?
Sidewalk's probably 5 feet, another 5 feet, maybe 10, 28, 30-ish to the entrance.
And this is where fuel trucks are going to be driving past to make deliveries. Is that correct?
On the opposite side of the street, yes.
Yeah, right past the play area for the children.
Correct.
Okay. I think you did testify you're not sure how many fuel tanks are going to be installed underground. Mr. Chris suggested there would be at least three. You said, I think you'd have to defer to Sheets, but maybe there would be four.
I'm going to defer to Sheets. I do not know the answer to that question.
Just as a follow-up, but again, you may not know this. Do you have any idea how large a fuel tank is?
I do not.
Okay. Now, your job, of course, is to develop the site plan for your client. And then, Chuck, can we just go back and look at the whole thing further back a little bit? Yeah. Now, so that would be basically, obviously, everything that's, say, inside the trees, so to speak. Now, up here, of course, we have Fishburne Road. Now, does your plan take into account any of the activities that are going to take place on Fishburne Road, or is that up to the traffic engineer?
So our plan is an illustrative representation of what the proposed improvements that have come out of the traffic impact study. So it does represent what the results of the traffic engineer's analysis are in that particular area. As obviously you can see, there are additional improvements to, I'll call it, Plant North, upper right-hand corner, that aren't shown there. There are areas beyond that area. Obviously, there's no striping on the left side. I mean, there's more to the ultimate plans than what's shown there. But just this was intended to try to kind of capture what the essence of the traffic study recommendations were.
And again, this document is your work product,
correct?
And you put your professional engineer stamp on this. You signed it. You approved it. Is that correct?
Yes, I put my seal on it, correct?
And again, as a licensed professional engineer in Pennsylvania, a man with 24 plus years of experience, you said, I've reviewed everything that I'm supposed to review, and in my opinion, my professional opinion, this is the plan that should be approved by the township.
Correct.
In doing that work, did you also then consult with the traffic engineer, Mr. Greasy?
Yes, I did.
So obviously, to prepare this, you had to have had ongoing discussions.
Correct, and there's actually a separate sub-consultant that is preparing the highway occupancy permit plans, which are associated with
that. Do you know who that in person or company
was? I believe it's KCI.
Can
we
hear that?
I believe it's KCI.
Thank you.
Do you know what KCI stands for?
I do not.
Do you know who the individual is?
I do not know.
Now, in preparing the site plan, you then did have to take into consideration traffic, both as with the right-in off of Governor Road, the newly relocated Sand Hill Road with a proposed traffic light down here, and then all of this work along Fishburne Road. Is that correct, sir?
Correct.
And I believe you were at the last meeting last Monday night. At the very end of the meeting, there was some discussion, somewhat brief, about the fact that there may have to be a widening made of Fishburne Road, possibly on both sides of the road. Did you recall that testimony?
I do recall that testimony, yes.
All right. And have you had discussions with Mr. Greasy as to whether, in fact, there would have to be some kind of a taking along both sides of Fishburne Road?
Just for the record, it's Creasy with a C. Okay.
Yes, we've had conversations in terms of what the existing road widths are, what would be required in terms of proposed road widths, but the details of that have not been finalized.
Do you know anything about how a condemnation proceeding takes place in Pennsylvania?
I do.
And have you been involved in some of those in your prior experience?
Yes, I have.
Would it be fair to say that this project that you've designed as a professional engineer here is related and is dependent upon a condemnation along Fishburne Road here?
I don't know the answer.
Well, aren't the two interrelated? In other words, to make the project work within the confines of the 7 acres. We can't just stop at the 7 acres. We have to take into consideration, do we not, the 3 surrounding roadways.
Correct. And we have pulled the property line into our site, in our site proper, to be able to facilitate the widening that's required along the Fisher Road. Once again, beyond that area, I'm not prepared to testify as to what the future will be in terms of the need for condemnation. But I think it's fair to say that yes, this site plan is dependent upon the improvements that are shown or depicted on this plan to work collaboratively.
Yes, yes, very good. Thank you. Chuck, in just a minute, I'm going to ask you to change exhibits, but for right here, just on this question right here, if you know, Mr. Rogalski, the proposed median that would be created here on Fishburne Road, would it be fair to say that, again, I apologize for my shaking hand, but that this line would fairly represent the location of that median?
Yes.
Now, do you know, sir, would that median then stop at the proposed pork chop?
Yes, I believe that is the intent.
Okay, so it would not continue on up to 322?
Correct. If you zoom in, I think you might actually be able to see.
Yes, very good. Thank you, sir. And based on the October 13th plan that was submitted, Chuck, I'm going to ask you to go to that next. That October 13th plan would show the median in that configuration?
Correct. The rendering was prepared from the October 13th plan.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it should be the same.
Okay. And again, I'll let Chuck, if you can find that October 13th. And Chuck, if you can enlarge along Fishburne Road there as much as possible. Yeah, that's good. Okay, and I think you correctly identified that the median would run down and stop right about the pork chop. Okay. And then, can you tell, sir, from this proposed plan, does this show any of the proposed taking along Fishburne Road, or at least on what would be the east side of Fishburne Road?
It does not appear to.
And again, do you know how many feet realistically would need to be taken from each side of Fishburne Road?
I do not.
Okay. And I think you did testify that you've been involved in other condemnation proceedings in other municipalities.
Correct.
Do you know who actually pays for the taking? Is it the local municipality, or is it PennDOT?
It's the local municipality.
And so they come up with the money, is that correct?
Correct.
Do you know in this case whether the developer has offered any money to the township?
I do not.
So I want to go back just for a moment, Chuck, to exhibit A15, please.
Can you tell me what it is?
I'm sorry?
Can you tell me what it is?
Oh, it's the waiver letter, five waivers from the Planning Commission. So this is a letter that you wrote?
A member of my staff did, yes.
Oh, right, but it's on your company's letterhead.
Correct, yes.
And you're addressing it to Mr. Emmerich, your intention.
Correct.
And you're talking about the 5 waivers that would be required, is that correct?
That is correct.
Can we just briefly go through what each of the waivers would be? So first, there was a waiver about frontage on Peach Avenue. Can you tell us what that involves?
So the ordinance contains requirements related to, you know, the construction of sidewalks, dedication of additional right-of-way in certain instances. And you know, it applies wholesale, if you will, to any public street. And so it doesn't really impact the plan. This particular parcel that fronts on Peach Avenue, a portion of the rear of the parcel is being subdivided off. And therefore, you know, it's our request that because of the de minimis nature, it makes very little sense to obviously widen Peach Avenue for whatever that distance would be, or provide a sidewalk in that area alone.
Do you know, is Peach Avenue a through street, or is it just basically a long cul-de-sac? If you know.
I don't know.
Okay, that's okay.
I can answer that for you. It's a dead end cul-de-sac.
Believe it.
That's fine. We appreciate the help, but please don't speak up.
And again, Chuck, we can just go back then. Number two, I think, some sidewalks on the south side of Sand Hill Road. Again, Mr. Wachowski, if you could address that.
So once again, we provided a pedestrian, thoroughfare that connects to the public path system on one side of the
road. Yes.
So.
But you would not have sidewalks on the other side.
Correct.
And then the third waiver had to do with open space dedication.
Correct. Once again, the proposed project, the type of project, doesn't suit an actual dedication of land, for example, and that we would believe that we would actually provide a fee in lieu of that dedication to the township.
Do you know what that fee would be?
I do not, no.
If we could just continue on, Chuck, the last two. There may have been one before that, so we have the...
The first one is actually kind of combined together.
You're right. And so we go to the very last one on page two there, which was the intersection alignment Sand Hill Road. So let's talk about that a little bit.
So as we previously kind of testified, we have this potential projection of this street, to the west,
yes,
to tie into Hope Drive in some form in the future. And it was our belief that this alignment aligns us to be able to facilitate that. And this particular intersection here, is not an exact 90-degree angle. And that is the reason why.
Sure.
We're this scenario here, too, as well, where this comes around and ties into the existing, it all has to do with that situation right in here. In order to align this, to facilitate a future extension, we have to kind of make an adjustment, because none of this is perfectly perpendicular.
But the project that you're proposing, we'll call it phase one, is a standalone project, correct? We've heard repeatedly that it's not connected or made a part of phase two.
Absolutely.
So without phase two ever coming into play, if phase one would be approved, you've got a plan here that meets, you feel, all the various requirements. And they are myriad requirements, are they not, sir?
Correct.
Yes. Talk a little bit about stormwater. Right now, I believe you have about 7 acres of land. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. An acre is 43,000 square feet, give or take.
Plus or minus.
Yeah. So under the proposed plan, have you calculated between the macadam parking and the impervious roofs of the four buildings and the canopy and the other structures that are going to be on the site, how much of the approximately 7 acres is going to be no longer allowing rainwater to disperse through the rain through the
rain? Yes, we did. It's listed on the plan. I don't remember the exact number, but once again, as we kind of indicated, that 60%-ish coverage ratio, suggested that, plus or minus two-thirds of the lot would be covered.
And again, you got a bonus because it's part of this master plan.
Correct, yes.
Would it be correct to say that without that 10% bonus, you'd be a little short? You'd not want too much impervious coverage.
Correct, yes.
And the actual stormwater collection points, are they shown anywhere on the plans yet?
They are not. So once again, it's the intent that, most likely in this area under the shared parking lot, there would be an underground system that would collect runoff from all of these areas and then discharge it to the ultimate the discharge point behind the daycare.
Would you be able to offer an opinion based on your prior experience? For example, how large an area would that basin have to be?
I would suspect we're going to take up most of this footprint here.
And can you give us dimensions with 100 feet?
This would be 100, those would be 40, 60, 200, 300 feet.
300 square feet?
No, linear dimension area.
Okay. 300 by 150?
Yeah, sounds right.
Okay, so that's, and help me with the math here. I was not a, I was an arts and science guy.
Can you repeat the question?
I guess that would be 4,500 square feet. Wouldn't it be 300 by 150? Or is that 45,000 square feet?
45,000.
45,000 square feet. Correct. Okay. So we're going to have a basin with a rectangle of 45,000 square feet. And about how deep do you think that would have to be?
I don't know. We haven't calculated that yet, but I suspect it will be on the order of magnitude of 5 to 6 feet deep to the bottom of the basin, and it would be comprised of large pipes or other type of underground storage facilities of some kind.
And then all of those would have to run, would they not, to the various buildings, so that as water comes down on the roof, it's collected through gutter system and it's channeled and gets back to that central location.
So not all of it, but the goal ultimately, as required by ordinance, is that when we analyze a single point down here, whatever runs off or is what we call bypass, does not overwhelm this, and then this would be detained in here and released at a slower rate, a longer period of time.
So the projected discharge area then is to the west, where you've indicated the...
Correct, generally.
Near the area of the proposed daycare center.
Yes.
And then it would flow onto the back of the existing Carnes grocery store, and just to the right of the Carnes, off of this map here, is the existing daycare center.
Correct.
Do you know the approximate fall rate, high point to low point? If the low point is, as you described, down by the proposed daycare center, what's the distance, the drop in elevation, if you will?
I don't know the exact number. I do know that there's about 4 feet of difference between, say, the finished floor and the sheets to the proposed daycare. And there's a wall proposed back here, too, as well. So, it's... I don't know the answer to that question.
Okay.
It slopes that direction. I can testify to that.
Now, I think you testified earlier that one of your jobs in doing this overall master plan is to develop a plan that is convenient and safe. I think those are the charging words in the township statute. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
And that it wouldn't cause problems.
Correct.
Yeah. And one of the concerns is to preserve historical areas and resources, correct?
Correct.
I think you testified that on the existing 7 acres, there were some houses there at one time, some homes, they've been removed. It basically, right now, it's an open field.
Correct.
But just to the east, right off the, there we go, right there at the intersection of Fishburne and 322. What sits right on that corner?
An old house, I believe.
Do you have any idea how old?
I do not.
If I told you I believe that house was built about 1806, would you agree with that?
I don't know the answer to that. And probably not my line of questioning.
Okay. I'm an arts and science guy, so I like this. Would you agree that a building built in 1806 could reasonably be considered a historical building?
I couldn't testify under what definition you'd be using, but it would be a building that was at least 100 years old.
Actually, if it was built in 1806, it would be 216 years old.
I thought you were an arts and science
guy. Wow, I learned a few things. I could count on my toes. Now, let's go back here for a moment. Again, I just want to clarify on the fuel service establishments. We had some discussion about what the ordinance actually says and whether it uses the word existing in describing residential use. Do you recall that?
I do.
Okay. And did we finally come to the agreement that at least on one part of the ordinance it does not use the word existing?
Yes.
But I think it was your testimony, you were basically saying, look, if we build the sheets goes up first, and then the apartment building is built, we don't have to worry about the distance because the apartment building wasn't existing when we built the sheets. Is that a fair statement?
It's a fair statement to say that I believe the intent of that particular section is to protect an existing use that is adjacent to this particular project. In my mind, irregardless of when these particular structures are built or their order, they're all part of one contiguous project. An individual that lives here, you know, knows that a sheet is going to come in here.
Mm-hmm. But they'd still be within, as Mr. Chris, I think, testified, I think it's actually about 150 feet. Is that correct?
That was Mr. Chris's approximation, yes.
So you're really not hanging your hat on whether it says existing or not. You're saying that you don't think there's a problem in building an apartment house that would be within 150 feet of the fuel tanks.
Correct.
Okay. And what would be your reason for feeling that way?
Because I believe that the facility is shown as a safe facility.
Okay. Meaning the sheets is a safe facility.
Correct.
And who determines that it's a safe facility?
A regulatory agency, perhaps the state.
Now, I want to go back a moment to the detention, proposed detention basin. You would have to obtain what's called an NPDES permit, is that correct?
That is correct.
And that stands for National
Pollution Discharge Elimination
System.
System, correct.
And in order to do that, that has to meet the approval of the Dauphin County Conservation District, I believe.
Correct.
As well as Pennsylvania Environmental Protection.
By extension, yes.
And of course, at this point, because you haven't gotten that far, you haven't had to apply for the NPDES.
Correct. In fact, the typical process would be we'd submit to the township, obtain a consistency letter that the township is comfortable with the proposed method of stormwater management, and then we would submit the NPDES permit.
Now, I'd like to talk a little bit, if I may take the little go back to the daycare center. So, let's say a fuel truck or any kind of a truck, and I realize that you know you're going to try to bring them in at more convenient times, but daycare centers typically operate from pretty early in the morning till pretty late in the evening. There's kids there. So these fuel trucks are going to come in, they're going to make their delivery, and can you walk me through how they're going to be exiting? They're not going to come back out this way. They're going to go to the pork chop? Is that correct?
That's correct. You know, our intent's to have a movement that's forward, so they would come down, relocated Sand Hill Road, make a right to the facility, and then they would unload, and then they would come out here, and they would go right, and then go down Fishboro Road.
Okay. So they'd have to enter and exit both on Fishboro.
Correct. And knowing we can't control a truck driver, I wouldn't be able to testify that every single truck would make that movement. But I believe that would be the easiest path for them to make.
Well, at least based on these dimensions here, if a truck were coming in an easterly direction on 322, it would be rather difficult for a 53-foot fuel truck to make that right hand turn, don't you think?
Yes.
So now they would go down, they'd make a turn here at the traffic light, come down, maybe get in here, but it's 53 feet, they might be hitting the side of the building. It would be safer to come down here to a traffic light, wider street, make the turn, come in, go past the kids, my kids, and then drop off, and then exit out. And again, as you pointed out, there's an area up in here where a 53-foot truck might have some trouble making a right-hand turn. Is that true?
No, I believe that the discussion was that as a truck is exiting, an individual that's coming into the site may be temporarily stopped while the rear wheels of the truck track across there.
But I think, though, in response to Mr. McNair's cross, I think you did talk about that there was a hatched area that was shown here. And maybe Chuck can bring that exhibit up again. It had to do with the truck turning.
We were discussing this area here.
Yes, as an old layout.
As these wheel paths would come through here, and that's why this road geometry has been created the way it has to be able to facilitate that swing, so they don't have to hit the curb or they don't have to hit the median.
But again, cars coming in, or even cars just driving south on the left lane of Fishburne Road, may be held up as a truck makes its maneuver, makes its right-hand turn out, correct?
It may occur, yes.
And that is the planned exit from the facility, that pork chop.
Correct.
As opposed to going back down and getting back onto relocated Sand Hill and then coming out with the traffic light to make a right-hand turn.
Correct. They would have to they'd have to back up to be able to exit that direction.
And I think you also testified, going back to the apartment building, there has to be two means of access for residential units, correct?
Correct.
So the two means are exiting via the pork chop, and then also exiting for the apartment people down on relocated Sand Hill. Would those be your two points?
Correct.
Now, there was some testimony about the way that you calculated the number of required parking spaces. And some questions were asked about the medical practitioner's office, which is, I think, about an 8,000 square foot building. Right there, sir. Yeah. And you had testified that, I think you said, there were 27 parking spaces.
That was on a shared parking demand.
Right. But in reaching that number of 27, I wasn't quite clear on how you had calculated that. It's my understanding that each professional in the building, that doctor, nurse, practitioner, they basically have to provide, in effect, three parking spaces. And any staff person working, they have to basically provide one parking space. Is that correct?
That is correct. And once again, the number provided was the ultimate outcome of that calculation, but I do not have that calculation here.
And who did you create that calculation?
I oversaw the creation of it, yes.
So somebody in your office?
Correct.
you signed off on this. You put your seal on it.
Absolutely.
Okay. So somebody gave you some information. They said, Mr. Rogalski, the number is 27. And you said, thank you?
No. We work collaboratively to generate these documents. You know what I mean? I may not have created the spreadsheet and plugged the 27 into it, but at the end of the day, we sat down and took a collective look at the entire shared parking demand, including those values provided, and ultimately, you know, this is what we've presented. Once again, you know, the number of practitioners is driving the number of spaces, so that could vary in the future. So the ultimate goal was to provide a number that we felt comfortable was complying with the ordinance, and also be able to provide the amount of parking that we felt was appropriate.
So, if we had one practitioner and one staff person, we need four parking spaces.
Correct.
If we provide 27, we basically cover 6.5 units. So maybe we could have six practitioners and six support staff.
Sounds
12 people maybe.
Sounds reasonable. Yes. Okay,
working in an 8,000 square foot building. Mm-hmm. And again, I think we have the same issue on the daycare. You don't know how many children would be at the daycare center, do you?
I do not.
And you don't know how many employees that would be.
Correct. Once again, we made some assumptions in terms of information provided.
And again, because the daycare, most daycares are open as early as 5 o'clock in the morning, and at least my experience in Gary Township has been they stay open until 6 or 7 o'clock in the evening. So kids are coming and going at all times of the day, and staff is coming and going in different shifts. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
And the size of the sheet's structure... Let's go to the sheet structure for a moment. I was a little unclear. Is it 5,500 square feet?
No, 6,000? No, sir. The 5,500 square feet was the portion of the building that we applied to the that particular space for the parking lot.
Yeah, gotcha. So the total under roof is 6,000 square feet.
Plus or minus, yes. I believe the sheet's representative will be able to testify to the exact number.
And that's the store, that's the size store that sheets would like to have, correct?
Yes.
Do you know whether the arrangement with sheets is dependent upon having a store of that size, or could it be a smaller store?
I do not know.
Again, this is probably beyond the scope of your employment, but would you know whether there's an actual contract signed with sheets?
I do not know that.
Understood. Now, each of the structures requires reserved handicap parking, is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. And are those shown, or the actual reserved handicap spaces shown anywhere on any of the exhibits?
Yes, we have a general layout. Once again, I think... You know, these areas will be reviewed further as we progress through land development to ensure that these are compliant. Distributed, appropriately.
Sure. Understood. Okay. Now, there's been some testimony that there would be possibly two restaurants. Is that correct?
I'm not. I do not know that.
Okay. But right now you're showing 3,000 square feet for a restaurant. And again, if you know under the Dairy Township zoning ordinance for parking, what's the ratio that's used? Is it tables, chairs in the restaurant for so many parking spaces?
I do not recall what's listed in the ordinance, but it seems reasonable that that's what it would be.
Okay. Would it be fair to say that as a professional engineer, you have fit onto this site everything that you can fit onto this site? You couldn't put a bigger building on here.
I have 4% more impervious. So I believe that what we have shown is a reasonable representation of what we can have at this point. As I indicated, this plan is not the final plan, but it's not the first plan either. We need a little wiggle room as we proceed our path to not get into issues down the road, but I believe this is a reasonable representation of what this would be in terms of a compliant plan.
There could be fewer buildings or smaller buildings on the site, could there not be?
Yes, there could be.
I think you did say to Mr. Crispo that this particular plan was unique to your experience, your 24 years of experience. He asked you if this was a unique plan, and you said unique to my experience.
The specific question was related to whether or not there was a fuel tank located on the same parcel as a resident.
And you said this is unique to your experience?
That is what I was referring to.
So, would it be fair to say that this proposed plan does suit your client's needs?
Yes.
But does it consider the impact on the neighbors?
Yes, I believe it does.
Has anybody ever talked to the neighbors?
I do not know.
Have you ever asked if anyone talked to the neighbors?
I have not, no.
As you drew your plan to suit your client's needs, did you take into consideration the possible impact on the neighbors?
Yes, we did, I believe. As contained in Mr. Gates' testimony, there were some revisions made previously related to some concerns. Our goal was to provide a compliant plan to the ordinances of Derry Township, which we believe is a representation of what the development scheme is intended to be.
Again, I realize you're not the traffic engineer, but you've consulted with Mr. Creasy, the traffic engineer. He's going to testify later.
Correct.
And you've heard testimony, because you've been at the other meetings, that this particular intersection, PennDOT considers this to be one of the worst. I think they said the third most congested or the third most problematic, not only in Derry Township, but in sort of the greater area. Have you heard that testimony?
I heard the testimony. I believe it was specific to the Tri-County Planning Commission.
Okay. Well, Tri-County. Okay, so within the Tri-County Planning Commission area, three counties, this is considered one of the very worst intersections. Is that correct?
That was the testimony, yes.
And so the solution is to build four buildings on 7 acres with 233 parking spaces and put a median on Fishburne Road, and that's going to solve the traffic problem. Is that your testimony?
I'm going to defer to the traffic engineer.
I thought you might. I would. I have no further questions. Thank you for your indulgence.
Thank you.
Mr. Greenberg, I apologize. I think I skipped over you. I have a list, and of course, did not follow it. That being said, we are aiming to stop at 9. We have to set dates for our next hearings. How long do you think your cross-examination will be?
5 to 10 minutes.
Okay. Have at it, young man. Thank you.
Sorry if I turn this.
Go right ahead.
Try not to twerk myself tonight. Good evening.
Good evening.
I want to take you back to your testimony on direct. Mr. Goetz did also, but my line of questioning starts here as well. He testified that the way the plan is drawn, the alignment of relocated Sand Hill Road works with the Phase 2 Hope Drive extension, which runs through the Kinder Care building.
Correct.
Could we have the exhibit that combines FSC 1 and A11, Mr. Goetz's document? Thank you, Mr. Cooper. So FSC 1 on the left is the Hershey Regional Transportation Study Concept Improvement Plan, which shows Hope Drive being relocated on the west side of Cherry to align with a Hope Drive extension that doesn't run through the Kinder Care building. It runs alongside it where there is currently the Kinder Care parking lot. Is that right?
Correct.
And The drawing on the right, which is part of the work that your firm did, that leaves Hope Drive on the west side of Cherry in its existing location, and it connects with the Hope Drive extension that goes through the KinderCare.
Correct.
And requires that the KinderCare building go away.
Correct.
Okay, now, I think you said that either one would work.
Correct.
And when you were asked about the differences or preferences, you mentioned stormwater considerations. Correct?
Correct.
And that's on the Penn State Medical Center side of the intersection.
Correct.
Now, were you here when Mr. Gates testified that Penn State Hershey Medical Center would be willing to pay $1.1 million toward this development if it's not required to reroute Hope Drive on its side?
I was present at the hearings, but I don't recall that specifically.
Okay. Well, I'm going to represent to you that that's essentially what he told this body when he testified. That was part of his, I think it was part of his direct, but I'm not sure. Anyway, the testimony also was that Penn State could use that $1.1 million that Penn State's willing to pay, Penn State Hershey Medical Center is willing to pay, is equal to what it would cost it to relocate Hope Drive to align with the Hope Drive extension that doesn't go through the KinderCare building. Right?
Makes sense, yes.
Okay. Were you given any understanding as to why the developer would prefer to receive the $1.1 million from Penn State Medical Center and take this project through the KinderCare building instead of just letting Penn State Hershey Medical Center use its $1.1 million to reroute Hope Drive?
Can you repeat the question?
Yes. In all these discussions you've had, and you mentioned to us that the owner and design team had conversations that resulted in the creation of this drawing on the right. Yes?
Correct. And to clarify, the purpose of this drawing was to create a centerline alignment that we were comfortable would work with what's shown above here. That was the sole purpose of that particular.
But you also said it would align with Hope Drive and on the west side of the intersection without relocating it.
Correct, yes.
In these meetings about this issue, did anyone explain to you why Linlow prefers to have Penn State Hershey Medical Center pay the $1.1 million instead of using it to align Hope Drive on its side of the intersection?
No. That was not made clear to me.
Will you agree that some extension of Hope Drive benefits the development? It makes it easier for traffic to get to and from the development.
I would agree that the extension of Hope Drive benefits both the development and the motoring public.
Did you hear Mr. Gates testify that the reason for the Hope Drive extension was only to benefit the public?
No, I don't recall that.
That's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you. Since we are approaching the witching hour, And we have to schedule upcoming, and I suspect we'll try to schedule two or three additional nights of testimony. The remainder of the parties, you can have your cross with this witness at the next hearing. So that being said, we're going to go off the record while the board discusses and puts together some dates, and then we'll throw those dates out to the parties to make sure that they work for them.
Okay.